The Covenant Man was forcing something into Tim's mouth. Tim tried to fend him off, but it did no good. The Covenant Man simply seized Tim's hair at the back of his head, and when Tim yelled, the mouth of a flask was shoved between his teeth. Some fiery liquid gushed down his throat. Not red eye, for instead of making him drunk, it calmed him. More, it made him feel like an icy visitor in his own head.
"That will wear off in 10 minutes, and then I'll let you go your course," the Covenant Man said.
His jocularity was gone. He no longer called the boy Young Tim. He no longer called him anything.
"Now, dig out thy ears and listen. I began to hear stories in Tavaris, 40 wheels east of here, of a woodsman who had been cooked by a dragon. It was on everyone's lips. A bitch dragon as big as a house, they said. I knew it was bullshit. I believe there might still be a tiger somewhere in the forest."
At that, the Covenant Man's lips twitched in a rictus of a grin, there and gone almost too quickly to see.
"But a dragon? Never. There hasn't been one this close to civilization for years, 10 times 10, and never one as big as a house." My curiosity was aroused. Not because Big Ross is a taxpayer, or was, although that's what I'd have told the toothless multitude, were any member of it trig enough and brave enough to ask. No, it was curiosity for its own sake, because wanting to know secrets has always been my besetting vice. Someday 'twill be the death of me, I have no doubt. I was camped on the Ironwood Trail last night, too, before I started my rounds. Only last night I went all the way to the trail's end. The signs on the last few stubs before the Fagonard Swamp say Ross and Kells. There I filled my basin at the last clear stream before the swamp begins, and what did I see in the water? Why, a sign reading Cosington Marchley. I packed up my gunner, mounted Blackie, and rode him back here just to see what I might see. There was no need to consult the basin again. I saw where yon Pookie would not venture, and where the bugs hadn't polluted the stream. The bugs are voracious flesh-eaters, but according to the old wives, they'll not eat the flesh of a virtuous man. The old wives are often wrong, but not about that, it seems. The chill of the water has preserved him, and he appears to be unmarked, because the man who murdered him struck from behind. I saw the riven skull when I turned him over, and have put him back as you see him now, to spare you that sight.
The Covenant Man paused, then added,
"And so he'd see you, I suppose, if his essence lingers near his course." On that the old wives reached no consensus. "Still all right, or would you like another small dose of Nin?"
I'm all right." Never had he told such a lie.
"I felt quite sure of who the culprit was, as you do, I reckon. But any remaining doubts were put to rest at Giddy's Saloon, my first stop in Tree. The local boozer's always good for a dozen knucks come tax time, if not more. There I found out that Burn Kells had slipped the rope with his dead partner's widow."
"Because of you," Tim said in a monotone that didn't sound like his own voice at all. "Because of your God's damned taxes." The Covenant Man laid a hand on his breast and spoke in wounded tones.
"You wrong me. 'Twasn't taxes that kept Big Kells burning in his bed all these years. Aye, even when he still had a woman next to him to quench his torch."
He went on, but the stuff he called Nen was wearing off, and Tim lost the sense of the words. Suddenly he was no longer cold but hot, burning up, and his stomach was a churning bag. He staggered toward the remains of the campfire, fell on his knees, and vomited his supper into the hole the Covenant Man had been digging with his boot heel.
"There," the man in the black cloak said in a tone of hearty self-congratulation. "I thought that might come in handy."